The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
You ready for today's message? Okay, that was very depressing. Are you ready for today's message? I'm like, I might just leave. Man, I hate the church, I'm telling you. We're in a series right now called I Hate the Church. And the premise of the series is this, is that there's a lot of people in the world today who don't like the church. There's a lot of people who have good reason to not like the church. They've been hurt. They've been lied to. They've been misled. There's a lot there. And the strategy of this message has really been to create some common ground to have the right kind of conversations. We have a decision when someone says, I don't like you. The decision is, I can be defensive or I can take the time to listen. You know, well, what's going on? What did we do? Why do you not like us? And what I've found personally is that when I take that time to listen, that oftentimes they've got really good reasons for not liking the church, and we find common ground to have a fantastic conversation. I had someone stop me a couple of weeks ago as we were ending the service. They said, hey, I got to tell you the story real quick. She said, one of my best friends has really never been into church, never been in to God, never wanted to even talk about it, and I took a risk, and I forwarded them the Facebook video of one of the I Hate the Church messages, and she said, I can't believe it, but my friend actually watched the entire thing, and then called me and said, I can't believe that your church is talking about this. I can't believe your church is confronting the very reasons that I don't like the church. And that just opened the door for the right kind of conversation to happen. So that's really been the heartbeat of this series. And today's the final message in this series. And here's kind of the subtitle today is Out of Focus. Out of Focus. My wife is a kindergarten teacher and an amazing one at that. And she'll come home from time to time with a story kind of like this. She'll say, you know, I was with my kids, and I began to notice that one of them was having a difficult time. It seemed like maybe there's something wrong with the vision. You know, they couldn't see the board clearly. They couldn't, you know, identify the colors or the numbers or the letters. And you know, I think there was something wrong. And you know, no parent likes to find out that there's something going on with their child. So then she had the difficult job of approaching mom and dad, like, hey, I think you should see an eye doctor. I think there's something out of focus for your child. And the fun part of the story is when they schedule the appointment and they go and they find out, yeah, the kid's blind to the back. Here's a pair of glasses. And they come back to school and the little boy, the little girl's like, Miss Dickinson, I can see now. Have you ever felt that way? Are any of you blind without your glasses or contacts? Right? And they come back. And the exciting part is that something that was there all along but was out of focus is now in focus and can be seen very, very clearly. Well, the Holy Spirit just has been working in my heart, and I really believe He's helped us to identify an area where people are saying, you know, I don't like the church, and this is how I'm saying it this morning. I don't like the church because they've lost their focus. And so I want us today, like every message in this series, I want us to look at our own hearts. I want us to look at our church, at ourselves, to ask the question, have we lost our focus? Let me talk to you about four times that we can tell, that we know that we've lost our focus. The first one is this: we've lost our focus when we put our hope in an institution. We've lost our focus when we put our hope in an institution. You see, it's really, really easy for a church to become about the church rather than about Jesus. Because here's the thing, the church is a great organization. The church does a lot of good in the world. The church, there's a lot going on there, but if we're not careful, we lose focus. Because at the end of the day, the church isn't about the church. The church is actually about Jesus. Anyone believe that this morning? And if we're not careful, we lose focus and we put the focus in the wrong place. Quick question, how many of you own at least one piece of Harvest swag. How many of you own a shirt, a hat, a something, right? Some of you are wearing them this morning, right? We've got a lot of swag. Have you noticed that? Like, we put our H on everything. When we got here, we were designing a new logo, and my brother's really good with graphics, and he had like four or five new logos for me to look at, and I didn't like any of them. Normally I do. My brother's very talented, but none of them caught me. And then one day, I was like, let's just put an H in a circle. Like, I just want simple, right? So we get it done. I take it to my brother. I'm like, what do you think, bro? He goes, looks like an H in a circle. I'm like, exactly. So we started putting that circle with the H everywhere, right? I mean, we put it everywhere. Like I realized this week, I wear something Harvest almost every day. I mean, like we have so much Harvest gear. I'm just going to show you, because I have some stuff. I got some stuff. I'm just telling you, right? Like, this our new hospitality shirts. A bunch of you are wearing them today. Here's our life group shirt. We got that. That's our old hospitality shirt. Here's our old youth shirt. Here's our new youth shirt. Here's our Love Your City shirt. Anyone have a Love Your City shirt? All right, we got that. We got that in a couple of different colors. We got our long sleeve that we did this winter. And this is my favorite, because nobody else has one like this except me. We bought these fleece thing. Fleece sweatshirt zipper thingy bobs. We bought these for our staff this year, and I bought all of them a blue one. But I was like, you know what? I'm the senior pastor. I want a red one. And so I had a lot of people that were like, how do I get the red one? I said, well, you have to be the pastor. That's how you get the red one. So I got a whole bunch of shirts, right? But check this out. I have a Harvest football helmet. How awesome is that, right? None of you have Harvest football helmets, I promise you. We have a Harvest mouse pad. We have a Harvest coffee mug. This is old school right here. This was our first attempt, HF Church. We've got some hats. How many of you remember these hats? Anyone? These were Father's Day like 2 years ago. We've got bright orange. I bought these because we were going pheasant hunting. We've got camo hats. No lie. We've got beanies. Anyone? It's not cold anymore, but does anyone need a beanie? You just want one? There. Cover that purple hair. Cover that purple hair up. You hear me, Christina? We've got Harvest postcards. How many of you have ever received a Harvest postcard? Right? Usually we write thank you cards on these. We've got Harvest stickers for your car. Does anyone need a Harvest sticker? All right, there's that. Oh, look at that. Ninja training. I'm sorry. Go get that. Oh, Ashley, you almost lost your leg. All right, so, and here's my last one. Check this out. This might be the coolest Harvest swag anywhere. Are you ready? I'm going to model it for you in just a second. Hold on. Wait for it. I have a Harvest superhero cape. Somebody Instagram this, please. I'm teasing. All right, so we have some pretty serious Harvest swag, right? And here's the point, okay? None of that's bad, okay? Don't go burn your Harvest shirts this week, but I think it illustrates this concept that it's really easy for us to make it about ourselves rather than about Jesus. It's really easy for us to make it about, you know, I call it the Harvest H. It's really easy for us to make it about us rather than about Jesus. And when we do this, friends, we've lost focus. When we make it about us, we're leading people astray, because ultimately we're saying, hey, put your hope in the church. Put your hope in us. But we'll help you. We'll be there for you. We'll take care of you. And really what we need to be telling people is put your hope in Jesus. You see, here's what I think happens is that we become cause-centered rather than Christ-centered. We become cause-centered. You see, Harvest, I'll just talk about us for a minute. We have a lot of causes that we're passionate about. We have a lot of causes that we support financially, that we pray for, that we volunteer, that we come alongside. We've got a lot of causes. Like yesterday, one of our causes, kind of the banner, you know, that we waved yesterday was for foster families. We had our fourth annual foster family appreciation party. We threw a big party. We had, you know, 300-400 people show up, and we had an awesome day. But here's the problem, okay, is we can't lose focus. Because it's not about the cause, it's about Jesus. Yesterday we had our food pantry. We served, you know, 100 or so people. We got them groceries and we helped them make it through the month and we served them, you know. But we can't make it about the cause. We're involved in local schools in a number of ways. Yay! But we can't make it about the cause. Are you following me? You see, it'd be really, really easy for us because we have so many causes to become cause-centered rather than Christ-centered. And see, I just wanted to remind you, we lose focus when we make it about the cause. You see, here's why it pushes people away, is when we make it about anything except Jesus, anything, then it becomes religion. You see, religion's all about the rules. Religion's about what you do, what you don't do. Religion is just quite simply anything but Jesus. And I don't know how you feel, but I can't stand religion, right? And the world, I'm just telling you right now, the world can't stand religion. But I'm telling you, here's the difference. Jesus was always about relationship. See, Jesus wasn't trying to build religion. Jesus wasn't about the rules. Jesus was about relationship. And this is why we can't afford to lose focus. We've got to point people to Jesus. You see, the message and the mission for the church has to be Jesus and the kingdom of God. The message and the mission. What we're talking about, what we're doing, what we stand for, it's got to be Jesus and the kingdom of God. Let me show you two scriptures. Luke chapter 4 says this. It says, at daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving him. But watch what Jesus said. He said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' words. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. You see, I don't know about you, but whatever Jesus' message was, I think that ought to be our message, right? You see, Jesus' message wasn't the church. Yeah, he was building a church. Yeah, he was attracting followers. Yes, but his message was the kingdom of God. And when he got ready to send out the disciples, we see a couple chapters later in Luke chapter 9, Jesus calls the 12 together. He gives them power and authority. And then this, it says, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, the message and the mission, it's got to be Jesus and the kingdom of God. It can't be the cause. You see, here's the dilemma. Causes are really easy to invite people to, right? It's like, hey, let's go dig wells. Hey, let's go feed children. Hey, let's go fix this problem. Let's get clothes. Let's make sandwiches. Causes are easy to call people to. Calling people to Jesus is a little bit different. Because here, I'll just tell you why. Because Jesus flies in the face of everything that our culture stands for. And when you call someone to follow Jesus, you are calling them to do a hard thing, right? Like you're calling them to sacrifice, right? Can we be honest? Nobody in our world today wants to sacrifice, right? Our culture today is all about me, right? And as soon as you say, hey, come follow Jesus, it'll be fun. Well, what does it look like? Well, you got to die to yourself every single day, right? Like, we've lost them, right? And this is why I think churches make the mistake of calling people to causes rather than Jesus. But when you call people to Jesus, the causes come naturally because what Jesus stood for was hope and grace and love and helping people and generosity. Are you following me? When you call people to Jesus, you get the whole package. When you call people to a cause, you're missing the main point. We can't afford to lose focus. Here's the second thing. We lose focus when we put our hope in a friend. We lose focus when we put our hope in a friend. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you, maybe not this church, but how many of you came to this church or another church because of a personal invitation from a friend? Show me your hands. You attended a church or a church function. See, here's the reality. Most people in our churches today, all across America, are there because of a friend. A friend invited them, a coworker, a neighbor, someone invited them. But here's the other side of that coin. Unfortunately, most people who are not in a church are also not in a church because of a friend. Because you don't believe me? Here, let me tell you what they tell me. They're like, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be a part of that. Because let me tell you about my neighbor 14 years ago, what he did to me, right? Like, okay, right? Or, you know, let me tell you why I don't go to church. You know, because my friend, can you believe he said this or he did this? You see, the reality is there's a lot of people today who they're not a part of a church because we as a church taught people, put your hope in a friend rather than teaching them, put your hope in Jesus. You see, we can't lose focus. We cannot lose focus. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read it to you today out of the Message version, just because as I read the different passages, the different versions, this one caught my attention. I liked the language of this. And it starts like this. It just simply says, keep your eyes on Jesus. That is kind of the point today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Can I tell you something? Your friend will let you down. Have you discovered that yet? Like, your very best friend who you might not, like, there's no way, Pastor. They will never do it. They'll never turn their back. I'm just telling you, your friend will let you down. Can I tell you something else? Your spouse will let you down. Your coworker will let you down. Your boss will let you down. Your neighbor. I'm just telling you, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what Hebrews is telling us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Watch this. Because he began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it. Watch this. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. You know how another way we could say that? Because he never lost focus. Right? This is why I'm telling you, put your trust, put your hope in Jesus, because he never, not one time, did Jesus lose sight of his mission, of his purpose, of his call. Not one time did he lose sight. And watch this, it says, he could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith is waning, you're not sure, you know, he says, go over that story again. What story? Not your friend's story, not your neighbor's story, not even your story. Go over the story of Jesus. Look at it. Look at the price he paid. Look at the sacrifice. Look what he did for you. Look. It says, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through. And I love that the end of this verse, it says, that will shoot adrenaline through your soul. Because that's what it should feel like when we're reading about Jesus. It should feel like an adrenaline shot pumping through our soul as we realize what he has done for us. But if you put your hope in a friend, you're going to lose focus. We're going to go down the wrong path. Here's the third thing. We lose focus when we put our hope in a leader. When we put our hope in a leader. I don't know if you know this or not, but church leaders are not perfect. Go ahead and like gasp like I just surprised you. Go ahead. You're hurting my feelings several times today, just so you know. Church leaders are not perfect. You know this because I'm here, right? You know this because you hear, I mean, church, so here, have you ever wondered of all of the ways that an all-powerful, all-knowing God could choose to relay the message of grace. Of all of the ways, why in the world did he choose to do it through imperfect people, right? I've wondered that often. It's like, come on, God, you could have done better than that. Pick a better system, one that's not flawed like people like me. So oftentimes, if we put our hope in the leader, and I've seen it, I've had people sit in my office, Pastor, I can't do it anymore. I can't go anymore because my youth pastor let me down. Pastor, I can't do it anymore. My pastor let me down. Pastor, I can't do it anymore because you let me down. You see, the unfortunate truth is that the church is led by people, and people are imperfect, and people make mistakes. And unfortunately, when leaders, church leaders, make mistakes, it often has fallout within the church and within the community. So I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about people that have left our church over the years and the things that they've said on their way out. See, I don't know, you're not like this, you're more mature than this, but a lot of people, when they leave, it's like, it's my chance to throw my grenade, right? And so on their way out, they're like lobbing these insults and grenades, and like, you know, well, I don't want to go to Harvest anymore because that Pastor Jason, he doesn't teach the word. He reads out of the Message version. Can you believe that? That's not even biblical, right? They leave, and they're like, you know, I'm out of here. I'm out of here because Pastor Jason, he didn't go to the hospital nearly enough. He didn't visit me when I was sick. He didn't send me a card on a Harvest postcard. You know, he hurt my feelings. He said that one thing that one time and that one message, and it hurt my feelings. I know it's about me. And people leave, and they run, and they go. And here's the unfortunate part is that some of them don't ever come back. Some people don't ever come back because at the end of the day, their hope wasn't actually in Jesus. It was in a leader. So let me say to you with all sincerity that I will let you down. In fact, I probably already have. But I hope that you'll put your hope in Jesus. Pastor Tyler's going to let you down, students. Pastor Clyde will let you down. Pastor Russell will let you down. Like, every one of us will let you down. So if I could do anything, I would say, put your hope in Jesus, because I promise you this, he will never let you down. Psalm 130 verse 7 says it this way. It says, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Friends, don't lose focus. Put your hope in the Lord. Here's the fourth thing. We lose focus when we put our hope in a program. Put our hope in a program. It's a little bit different than putting our hope in an institution, and I'll help you. I'll explain it. You see, I grew up in church. I've been in every program that our denomination, our churches have to offer. You know, I went to Sunday school, I went to kids' church, I went to youth group, I went to Royal Rangers. Anyone remember that? Anyone know what that is? Three of you know what that is. I went through all of the programs. And here's the thing, is that when we all kind of do this. When we see success in a particular program, we're tempted to put our hope in that program rather than Jesus. It could be a counselor. It could be a program like AA. It could be a particular book study or a life group. We put our hope in programs. And the way I know that we put our hope in programs is that from time to time, we realize that a program has run its course and it's reached the end of its effectiveness. And we'll make the difficult decision to shut that program down. And when we do so, we'll have some people that they come with pitchforks and torches to my house. Not really, they don't do this. But they're like, Pastor, where's my program? Well, you know, it wasn't working anymore, and we'd done it for 25 years, and we're just changing. But Pastor, the program changed my life. And I just want to say, no, it was a good program, but Jesus changed your life. The program didn't change your life. Jesus changed your life. And see, I think we're guilty, church. I think we're guilty that sometimes we put too much hope in the program. We put too much, you know, hope in this class or that book or this person or that. And here's what you need to know. Programs don't change lives. Jesus changes lives. And we can't put our hope in a program. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Jesus himself used a lot of different methods throughout his life. Like I'll give you an example. There was one time where a blind man came to Jesus and needed healing. And so Jesus, what he did is he got some dirt and he spit in it and he made some mud. And he rubbed it on this guy's eyes and he healed the guy. You remember this story? And I don't know if you noticed this, but that was only done one time in all of the scripture. Only one time did Jesus do it that way. And here's my theory on why is if Jesus had done that more than once, then some Pharisee would have come along and said, that's the program. That's the method. Let's start a spit into the mud and put it on people's eyes class. That's the way we do it. Right? And some televangelist would have written a book about it, and he would have packaged mud made by his anointed spit, and he would have sold it on the television. They didn't have them then, but he would have sold it, and there would have been a whole classes made, programs made about how to heal people's eyes with spit, and right? Are you right? So the next time around, Jesus didn't do it like that. Jesus did it a different way. Jesus was always changing the method because it was never about the method. It was about him. It was about Jesus. Remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He didn't say, Sunday school is the way, the truth, and the life, right? He didn't say, this program. It was always about him. So he was always changing the method. So let me help you with this morning. I'll illustrate it this morning for you on my beautiful whiteboard, okay? I'm going to draw three. Well, this is my attempt at three circles. Can you pretend these are circles this morning? They're not pretty, okay? But so let me show you what happens. This is what happens oftentimes in church. The smallest circle represents what we'll call this morning essentials, okay? These are our essentials. This is like the core beliefs that we have. Now, here's the interesting thing is there's probably less core beliefs than you think that there are, okay? What I'm saying is these are the beliefs that, like, you would die for. I mean, they cannot change, right? I'll give you examples, okay? These would be kind of the core beliefs. Is man is a sinner and is lost and cannot help himself. But Jesus Christ was sent into this world as a perfect baby to walk, to grow, to walk this earth, and ultimately to pay the price on a cross. And he died on a cross for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And when that happened, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he provided a way for us to have life eternal. How does that sound? Are those pretty good core beliefs? But here's the deal. We often, in church, we try to make some of our other beliefs core beliefs. And I'm just telling you, there's some beliefs that I won't fight over, right? Like sometimes people are like, well, Pastor, let's talk about the end times. I'm like, look, I'm going to save you a lot of headache right now. I don't know when he's coming back. You should be ready. You better take as many people with you. And if anyone tells you they got it figured out, they're crazy. Stop listening to them. Like, that's kind of it. I'm not going to put my end times beliefs in the circle of essentials. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not essential. Are you following me? So here's the next circle. This is what we call traditions. Every church has traditions. Tradition is simply this. Something that your church or group of churches does regularly. That's really all that it is. I'll give you an example. One of the traditions inside of church is the way that we sing our worship music, okay? So we have here at Harvest, we have a particular worship culture, right? We use live music and guitars and drums and instruments, and we put the words on the screen, and we usually have some lights, and there's a lot of different styles, and we have kind of our style, right? And let me just tell you, our style is not necessarily the best style, it's just our style. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you went to another church, you know, today or next week or whatever, you would find that they don't all do it the same, right? Because these are traditions. It's a way of doing it, right? I'll give you another example of a tradition. Another one might be communion, right? See, here's Jesus said, he did communion at the Last Supper, and then he said, "Do this in remembrance of me until I return." So we know communion is important. We should do it. The unfortunate part is Jesus didn't give us any more specifics. He didn't tell us how often to do it, right? So like the other day, I was sitting at a pastor's lunch with four or five pastors, and the question came up, how often do you do communion? And one guy's like, well, we do it every single week. Another guy's like, well, we do it about once a month. And another guy's like, oh, we do it like two times a year. Who was right? All of them, okay? Because that is just a particular tradition within that church or set of churches. Here's the mistake that we make. When we put our hope in a program, then we confuse our traditions with essentials. That's when we've lost focus. When we make the traditions the essentials, and now we judge someone else based on our tradition. We look at another group, another church, and we're like, I can't believe they do it that way. As soon as you've said that, you have lost focus. We can't put our hope in the program. Here's the third circle, and there's a reason it's the biggest circle, by the way. This is the circle called opinions. Does anyone have any opinions? Anyone? Does anyone have opinions about today's message? It's okay, go ahead. I'm teasing. You know the interesting thing about opinions? That the longer you live, the more you accumulate. Have you noticed that? The longer you live, the more opinions you accumulate, and the more passion with which you represent those opinions. Right? It's like we just get more and more set in our opinions. And the interesting thing about opinions is everyone has some, and everyone thinks theirs are right. Am I right? I mean, you're right in your opinion, right? Well, how are you right and I'm right, and our opinions are different, right? So here's the really, really dangerous thing in church culture is that we have lost focus when we make it about our opinions rather than about the essentials. I'll give you an example in case you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Here's an opinion, okay? An opinion would be that a particular version of the Bible is the best version of the Bible. Like, it doesn't happen very often, but one time I read, like I did today, out of the Message. And I had someone come up to me after service and scold me with their bony little finger. And they were like, I cannot believe you did that. I'm like, what'd I do now? They said, you read out of the Message. That's not even the Word of God. I said, really? Thank you for telling me. What version do you read? I only read the King James Version. It's the holiest version of all. I said, wow, thank you. I can't believe. And they said to me, I promise you, they said, if the King James Version was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I don't know if they knew, but Jesus didn't speak King James, okay? I don't know, it was like, surprise, right? But here's the deal. There are entire cults built around opinions. That this is the only way you can do it. This is the only version. This is the only thing you can do. Let me give you one that sounds less spiritual. Here's an opinion. There are some that would say, it breaks the heart of God to drink coffee in the sanctuary. That would be an opinion. I'll tell you a story. When Lisa and I got to Harvest, there were signs over every one of these doors that entered the sanctuary that said, no food or drink allowed. So one day, I was here by myself, and I'm like, those suckers are coming down. So I got a little tool and some paint. I took every sign down, and I touched up the paint. I was hoping not quite everyone would notice. And we put coffee out, and the very next week, people are bringing coffee in, and I had people coming like, Pastor, there's coffee in the sanctuary. I said, yeah, there is. This is awesome. You know why? Because we wanted to create an environment where people would be, you know, would feel welcomed and inviting, and they could drink their coffee while they're drinking the Word of God, right? Like we wanted that environment. So you know what I did? I took all the chairs out and I cleaned all the carpet, and that way when someone said that to me, I could say, it's okay. I took the signs down, and not only that, I cleaned the carpet, and as soon as someone spills something, I will personally clean the carpet again, because that opinion is not nearly as valuable as a lost soul, right? So here's the funny thing, is this morning, my wife brings a big old mug of tea from home. And she puts it under her chair, thinking that it would be safe. But how many of you have met my middle daughter, Ava? There is nothing safe around Ava. And so right before church, Lisa comes to me. She didn't know I was preaching. And she's like, oh. I'm like, what? She goes, Ava spilt my tea. There's a big old stain right in front of our chairs now. I said, babe, it's okay. I'll clean the carpet, right? It's okay. But here's the deal, and I'm glad you're laughing about it, because 4 years ago, we didn't laugh about it, but we can't make opinions essentials. Are you with me? So here's what we do. Let me help you. We stand by the essentials. We fight for the essentials, okay? We live in a culture today that the attack is not on the traditions, it's not on the opinions, the attack is on the essentials. Jesus is the only way for salvation, period. We cannot compromise. So we stand on the traditions, okay? The essentials, we honor the traditions. Here's what that means, okay? You might think differently about a tradition. You might not like the songs they sing. You might think we don't do communion enough. You might think this. You might think it's okay. We can honor that inside of this family without hostility, right? We can honor one another. We can make room for difference of opinion on traditions. So we stand for the essentials. We honor the traditions. And here's my favorite one. I've been waiting all day to tell you this. Here's what we do with our opinions. Are you ready? Keep them to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. It is your opinion. You know what we like to do today with our opinions? We like to air them out publicly. We love to post our opinions on Facebook. Stop it! Okay, I'm guilty. More times than I would like, I post something on Facebook, and about half an hour later, Lisa texts me and says, take that off your Facebook. To which I respond, thank you, Holy Spirit. So we have a sign-up sheet in the lobby today. If you need monitoring, Lisa will provide that for a low, 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 low fee of $59.99. You'll get texts from Lisa telling, but really, we got to stand by the essentials. We got to honor the traditions. But most of the time, we need to keep our opinions to ourselves, because if we don't, we elevate the opinions and we cause people in our lives to put their hope in the wrong place, in the wrong person, in the wrong class, in the wrong thing. We can't afford, guys, I'm telling you, this is what people are, they're saying, I don't like the church because their focus is in the wrong place. And it's let me down. I'm telling you, the only thing that won't ever let you down is Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus just for a minute. Worship team, you can help me this morning to come to a conclusion. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me just tell you a couple of things. Okay, number one, it's never too late for Jesus. It's one of my favorite things. It's never too late for Jesus. Like it's never, ever too late. Like I was reading about Jesus this week, and I've read this a whole bunch of times, but you know, I was reading about how Jesus, his friend Lazarus, and you know, they came, like Lazarus is dying, and Jesus just took his sweet time getting there, and Lazarus died, and Jesus showed up, you know, he just raised him back to life, right? Like we sang about this morning, like dead things back to life. It's never too late for Jesus. Here's the other thing is, Jesus is not intimidated by circumstances. I love this about Jesus. He's not intimidated, like by anything. He's not intimidated by doubt or questions. We've talked about in this series. He's not intimidated by criticism. He's not intimidated by sickness. He's not even intimidated by death. Jesus isn't intimidated by cancer. He's not intimidated by impossible situations. He's not intimidated. This is why I love pointing people to Jesus rather than the church, rather than a leader, rather than a friend, rather than a program, because he'll never let you down. And listen, his hope, his grace, his love, his forgiveness, it's available to everyone. Everyone. It don't matter if you're a man or a woman or young or old or rich or poor. It's available to everyone. And Jesus, he'll never let you down. Several years ago, I had LASIK surgery. I was probably maybe 10 or so, 10 or 11, when I first was prescribed with glasses. And I got to high school and I changed the contacts. And after Lisa and I got married, Lisa wanted LASIK, and I'm like, good luck with that. I'm not letting a laser cut my eye. Like, that sounds dumb. And so she got LASIK, and for like 2 years, she's like, Jason, it's the best thing ever. You got to do it. And I'm like, I don't want a laser on my eye. Like, nothing sounds smart about that at all. And then one day, she convinced me, and I got LASIK, and I remember the very first morning I woke up and I didn't have to get my glasses to see the alarm clock. I just opened my eyes and I was like, oh my goodness, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is awesome. Anyone have that experience? It's like, whoa, right? There's a verse, it's talking about physical healing. There's a verse in Mark, it says, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. I've been praying over you this week. I've been praying over us that Jesus would touch us and that we would see things clearly. We can't lose focus. Here's how we do it. We just got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Sounds simple, right? Can I tell you something? None of us, we don't try to lose focus. It happens naturally. It's just drift. It's just weeks, months, years go by, and we just lose focus. The thing about focus, you have to fight for it. You have to, I mean, this is coming from someone with ADD. You have to fight for focus. So church, let's do it. Let's fight for focus. Stand with me. Remember our theme verse this year? Remember? Oh, let us press to know him more. Remember? Let's press to know him more. Oh, that I might know him more. Let's press to know him more. That, you see it? Keep your eyes on Jesus. I want to do something as we end. We're going to sing this song about how much we love Jesus. And it's going to give you a chance to refocus, to have spiritual LASIK surgery, right? Just put your focus on Jesus. But as we were seeing it earlier in our service, I just really, really sensed that God was wanting to do miracles in our lives today. And so as we sing this, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you if you need a miracle. You can define that. And so as we sing this, would you be willing to get out of your seat, to walk down here and join me? Just join me right here. I just really, really sense that as we put our eyes on Jesus, that just some really cool stuff could happen. Do you believe that? Let's worship. Let's put our hope in Jesus. Let's refocus.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.